Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. I want to read, I'll read the entire verse, but just for the sake of the text, I'm just going to read part of the verse and pray. Then I'll come back and read the verse in its entirety. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18, come, somebody tell me what the next word is. There's no time like the present. I want to look at this text this morning, and I want to say this. The Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. I know in my heart that if we would be honest, I didn't say you, I said we. I believe there were times in the last year that we missed God. And that we didn't do what God said is reasonable. And I want to deal with this text today. The Bible said, come now and let us reason together. And then look at those three words. Who said it? Saith the Lord. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for loving us. We realize, God, that the only reason we love you is because you first loved us. Lord, I remember well when you made that real in my heart, that you were willing to take my place. It was as if John 3:16 no longer read, for God so loved the world. But it was like it read, for God so loved Rick Vannoy. Oh God, your love is unfathomable. I pray, Father, this morning that you will help this preacher to be a help to this congregation. Lord, I thank you for each one that's come. And Lord, I know that before the foundation of the world, before you ever spoke the world in place, you knew who would be here this morning. You knew the need of every heart and every life. God, I pray this morning you'd minister to those needs. Father, for our precious people, I'm thinking of many right now that even today are sick and in a great deal of pain and hurting. I pray that you would visit with them where they are and minister to them. And I pray, Father, that you'll minister to us that are gathered in this service today. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I want to give you three things in the message today. I'm not sure how it'll go, but I want to get started this morning. I want to give you three things that the Lord has given me and dealt with my heart about. Number one, to be born again is reasonable. That is the reasonable thing. You see, the Bible said right here in verse number 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Brother Brian was teaching in Sunday school and talking about the church through the eyes of the world. And how that sometimes the world, Brother Tim, has no idea why we do what we do, why we would gather, why we would sing, why we would take a tenth of our income and give it to the Lord and then go on top of that and give to missions, why we would help families, why we would do what we do. We look like a bunch of foolish people in the eyes of the world. But can I say the reason that we do what we do is because we know that down inside it used to be blackened with sin. And God came along and washed us in His precious blood and took away all of our sin. In the Old Testament, the blood of the bull, the blood of the goat, the blood of the turtle dove, it would put off the sin from year to year. But when John stood on the banks of the Jordan River and saw Jesus coming down the banks of the river, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I say to you this morning, if he would be willing to go to a cross and be crowned with thorns, and to be beaten till all of his joints were exposed and out of joint. All of his bones were glaring and staring at those that walked by. If he would be willing to have nails put in his hands and nails put in his feet, and to be scourged at a whipping post and be beaten, and to be buffeted, to be have his eyes black and blue. If he would be willing, my friend, to hang there between heaven and earth and die the most cruel death that anybody in this world could ever experience. I say, if he would be willing to do that, it's only reasonable that you and I would trust such a one to be our Savior and be born again. Amen. Be saved by the grace of God. It's only reasonable. God said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. I'm going to be taking a lot of scripture out of Mark today. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. This chapter is rich, and I think we'll be coming back to it this evening. But I say it's reasonable. To be born again is reasonable. Let me say this to you. To die without God and go off into an eternity where the Bible said their worm dieth not and the fire's not quenched, where the Bible said it's outer darkness, where the Bible said that men are begging for a drop of water to go on their tongue and cool their tongue. That is unreasonable to die that way and go to that awful place called hell when God has made all the provision. You say, this morning, if I were hungry, and I am getting that way a little bit, a banana just don't do it for breakfast. Amen. It don't last long. After a while, I'll get a taste of the Tri-Cities, Jason. That's what he was holding up in front of me. Amen. But if I were hungry, but that's not really hungry like some people know hungry. There are people that through this cold weather have really been hungry. Amen. People in the United States, people around the world that have really been hungry. Amen. But if I were hungry and somebody set down a plate of food in front of me, I want you to know it would be unreasonable to push that away. The reasonable thing to do would be to get a knife and a fork and a spoon, even if you had to eat it with your fingers, and eat what was set down in front of you. I say the reasonable thing to do as we look at Calvary is to come to Calvary. Don't go away from Calvary, but trust the one, amen, that died for our sin according to the Scripture. Let me show you in Mark chapter number 8, in verse number 36 and verse number 37. The Bible said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I want to say this, the poorest man in hell, the richest man in hell, they would give everything they've ever owned if they could have it over again. Amen. I will guarantee you that they would swap out in a heartbeat, and that they would say nothing in this world. They would say everything in this world is not worth losing your own soul. We need to be born again, and to be born again is reasonable. I believe with all of my heart God wants us to be saved. You say, preacher, how can you say that? You know there's a doctrine that's rampant in America. It's rampant around the world. It says God's picked these for heaven and damned these to hell. I found in the Word of God where it said He will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe every time a sinner dies without God and lifts his eyes in hell in the region of the damned, he does that against God's perfect and precious will for his life. My friend, God so loved the world. Not my friend, part of the world, the entire world. Look with me, if you will, at Luke chapter number 18 for just a moment. Luke chapter number 18, and I'll go on to the second point in the message this morning. To be born again is reasonable. In Luke chapter number 18, we have a prime example in this parable that our Lord would leave with us here in the Word of God. We have a prime example of a man that's reasonable and a man that's unreasonable right here in this parable. In chapter number 18 and verse number 9, the Bible said, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. I want to say something this morning. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm going to give you truth. If you despise anybody, your heart is not right with God. If you despise anybody, I'm not talking about Satan. It'd be all right to despise him, but you understand what I mean. If you despise any human being, your heart is not exactly where it needs to be with God. I tell you, our greatest enemy, we ought to be able to fall on our face and cry out to the God of heaven for their salvation. I tell you, our greatest enemy in this world, we ought to want to be good to them. Amen. And that we might heap coals of fire on their head. And they might see something real in our lives. Amen. I'm glad Jesus didn't despise me when I was despicable. He didn't despise me. He loved me. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'll tell you, I believe with all of my heart, some people think, well, if I straighten up, he'll love me. I got good news. He ain't waiting on you to do anything. I'll show you in a little while. He loves you right now. Amen. He loves you like no one's ever loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. To be born again is reasonable. Look at the chapter here, verse number 9, chapter 18. He spake this parable unto certain that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. I'm going to tell you something right now. Salvation never has been and never will be trusting in ourselves. Amen. That's the difference in a work salvation and a salvation that's by the grace of God. A salvation that's by the grace of God does not trust in oneself. It trusts in one Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord Jesus that gave his life. Watch this now. He says two men went up into the temple to pray. You know, one's a Pharisee and the other's a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Let me tell you something right now. When you're praying like this Pharisee's praying, you're praying with yourself. The God of heaven ain't listening. Say amen right there. You think about this selfish prayer that he's about to pray. He's praying with himself. He says, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. But he said, I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm trying to be nice this morning, but if God even heard this man's prayer, it's making God want to puke. It's making God want to vomit. Amen. I'll tell you something, Christian friend of mine. God don't want us, even after we get saved, bragging on our stinking self and what we've accomplished. He wants us bragging on the God of heaven and the Savior, amen, that gave us everything that we have. Watch this now. This man is unreasonable. He's praying within himself. He's thanking God that he's not like other people are. He's despising this publican. He's despising. Let me just say this. It's all right to despise sin. But just don't ever get to the place where you despise the sinner. God's helped me, Brother Rose, in this area. When I look at somebody that's walking in gross sin, I'm able to look at them and say, but for the grace of God, that's me doing the same thing that they're doing. But for the grace of God, my friend, listen, you and I would be guilty of the same thing. Amen. We need to despise sin, but love sinners all at the same time. I'll give you this. This Bible teaches this. God is holy, and God despises sin. But aren't you glad he don't despise sinners? Aren't you glad, thank God, we can send missionaries? Aren't you glad we can preach the gospel? Aren't you glad we can, my friend, give out the good news knowing that God loves sinners? He loves them. Watch this now. It's unreasonable. It's unreasonable what's going on here in this publican's mind. Watch this now. Verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off. I really can't blame him from getting away from that guy. Can you? Say amen. By the way, there's a truth right there, Brother Mike. There's a truth right there. When somebody gets in themselves, we ought to get away from them. That's exactly right. Amen. Well, again, that stuff will rub off on us. If you're not careful, you'll begin to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Amen. Well, watch this. Here's a man that's reasonable. He's standing afar off. And he would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe his brother Eddie prayed a while ago. He said, God, we need your mercy. He said, preacher, we've already been saved. Some of us have already been saved. Amen. Maybe most of us have already been saved. But can I remind you, we still need God's mercy. It's new every morning. Amen. It's new every morning. But here's a man looking at his condition. He looks at himself and he looks at his Savior. And he said, I'm not even worthy to look up. I just smote upon my breast and I cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You say, preacher, what's the outcome of this? The next verse says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Justified. Saved by the grace of God. That's the reasonable thing. To come to Jesus. Don't run from him. It's reasonable to be born again. I'm telling you, my friend, listen, that 2014 is gone. And all of our life back that way is gone. And if we have lived up till now unsaved, my friend, it's only reasonable not to go through another year the way we went through the last year. It's only reasonable to trust Jesus and to be saved. That's the reasonable thing to do. Remember who said it. Saith the Lord, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Somebody said yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today's all the cash you have, so spend it wisely. I tell you in this congregation this morning, if the Holy Ghost of God would nudge at your heart, it would be reasonable for you to come to the Lord. It would be unreasonable for you to take a chance and go away from God. Amen. How many of you all know what a revolver is? Used to, lots of revolvers had 5 shots in them. And then come along, pretty common for a revolver to have 6 shots in it. And now they're trying to gain one on the other. Now some of the revolvers have 7 shots in them. But you can get a .22 revolver, I know this for a fact, that's got 10 shots in it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Take any of those revolvers and just put one bullet in it and roll the cylinder and say, preacher, would you point it at your temple and pull the trigger? And I'll tell you, that is unreasonable. That is unreasonable. I'm not going to take 1 chance in 5, 1 in 6, 1 in 7, or 1 in 10. I'm not going to take that chance. That is unreasonable to take that chance. But people that go on one day after another day after another day are gambling with something more important than life itself. It's their soul that will never die. God said, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come now. It's the grace of God I saved when I was 27 years old. It's the grace of God I even lived to be 27 years old. I don't say that boastfully, but I say it truthfully. It's the grace of God that I even lived to be 27 years old. I thank God for his grace. To be born again is reasonable. Secondly, in the message, if you'll go back with me to Mark chapter number 8, not only to be born again is reasonable, Brother Mark, I'm going to preach to you a little bit, preach about you a little bit right here. But this next thing's reasonable, and I wouldn't do this if I didn't know it was already evident in his life. Watch this now. Not only to be born again is reasonable, but be surrendered to him. Everybody that's been born again ought to be surrendered to him. That's reasonable. The Word of God told us over there in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, in the first couple of verses. Somebody get me started on it and I'll quote it. Help me. Help me. Somebody help me right quick. That first verse, I always lose. That seems like I do a lot. Help me. If you'll just give me the first word or two. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice,
holy, and acceptable unto God. Here it is, which is your reasonable service. It is unreasonable for someone that has been born again not to surrender their life to serve the Lord. That is an unreasonable thing. It's only reasonable that once we get saved by the grace of God, we surrender our life to the Lord. Brother Brian was talking in Sunday school about the body of Christ and how God puts in the body of Christ everything that we need. I was thinking about, I tell my son this and my daughter-in-law that are here this morning, when Brother Wishon was the pastor there at Landmark, I could remember Brother Randy like it was yesterday, going in his office. I said, glad to be saved. I mean to tell you, I'd done been before the Lord before I ever went before my pastor. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. I mean, that's more than a song. I prayed to the God of heaven. I said, Lord, here am I. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. About 30 days later, he put a call on my life. He probably already had, and I just didn't know it yet. Amen. You'll get that after a while. Amen. But I went in my pastor's office. This is what I told my pastor. I said, Brother Bud, I said, if you need me to clean toilets, I'll clean them. If you need me to mow grass, I'll mow it. If you need me to drive a van, I'll drive it. If you need me to teach a class, I'll teach it. I said, Preacher, I didn't come in this office to tell you what I would do or wouldn't do. I said, Pastor, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it if I'm able. By the grace of God, I want to help you. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. You say, Preacher, you bragging on yourself. How many knows who put that in my heart? It wasn't me. I'm made out of flesh just like you. It was the Savior that helped me to surrender after that I got saved. You say, Preacher, what about the scripture in Mark? Watch it. Mark chapter number 8, it's only reasonable to be surrendered to Him. Mark chapter number 8, the Bible said here, when He called the people unto Him, verse 34, with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Now, let me tell you something right now. How many knows there's going to be a struggle right there? James knew what he was talking about, how the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. I'm telling you, the flesh does not like cross bearing. The flesh doesn't want to pick up a cross. I'm telling you, my friend, you'll be made fun of. You'll be, my friend, ostracized sometimes at work and at school if you're bearing a cross for the Savior of the world. But it's reasonable. Jesus went to the cross, and we like to talk about that. But we don't like to talk about the fact that He's got a cross for us to pick up and carry through this walk of life that we live in. Watch this now. He said, for whosoever will save his life. That tells me something right there. It's possible for you to save your life. You keep it for yourself. That's what He's saying. Whosoever saves his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life, here comes the surrender. Lord, I'm not my own anymore. I've been bought with a price. I don't belong to me. I belong to you. Whosoever shall lose his life. Sister Jennifer, as we pray for young people, right there's a prayer. Lose it. Lose it. Be lost in it. Listen, there's nothing wrong with making plans for your life. There's nothing wrong with having goals for your life. But please don't forget to include God. God. God's will. God's plan. That ought to be what we're seeking for our life. I read this somewhere years ago. The Bible said here, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, I love this, and the gospel's, the same shall save it. The same shall save it. Oh, preacher, somebody else will do it.
They probably will. But let me just make a statement. No one else can do what you're supposed to do. Someone else may be doing the same thing you're supposed to do, but no one else can do what you're supposed to do after you get saved by the grace of God. He said, "Preacher, why did you mention Brother Mark?" I'll tell you why I mentioned him. Because in our conversation, when he told me about getting saved, trusted Jesus, I encouraged him to read in the book of John. The book of John will build your faith up. It's a good place for new converts to read. Amen. You say, "Preacher, why did you mention him?" Because he didn't just blow that off and forget about it. Morning and evening, morning and evening, morning and evening. He can't get enough of it. He's back in it, back in it, back in it. He told me the other day, he said, "Pastor," he said, "I read John 3:16. He said, "I've read it all my life, but," he said, "I read it this time." He said, "I didn't even know I was coming upon it, but there it was, and it was a blessing." Why? Because someone living down inside of him, the Spirit of the living God, made it real. To be surrendered to him is reasonable. When we get saved, we ought to surrender to this book. The Catholics, they make more out of Mary than they should make. Mary was not sinless. Mary called Jesus her Savior. Only sinners need a Savior. Let me tell you that right now. Mary had some good advice for every one of us. There at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, when they ran out of wine, how many remembers that first miracle of Jesus? You know what she said? Mary said to those disciples, she said, "Whatsoever he says unto you, do it." Mary had absolute confidence, Brother Gail, that whatever he told them to do would be right, and they needed to get at it. Can I tell you, I've got a book in my hand. I've got absolute confidence that whatever he says in this book, you ought to be a-doing it. I ought to be a-doing it. Amen, amen. Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word of God. Because when all we do is hear the word, we're deceiving our own selves. We need to be doers of the word of God. A couple examples and I'm done. To be surrendered to him is reasonable. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 17, down through verse number 22. The Bible said here, I'll say more about this tonight. "And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye, because you have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?" I'll get into this story a lot deeper tonight, but this is unreasonable for the disciples that have already watched Jesus feed 5,000. It is unreasonable for them to think that when he said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," that he's talking about a literal loaf of bread, because they only brought one loaf of bread with them on the ship. And he said, "Why are you reasoning this way in yourselves? Is it because your heart is hardened?" Can I tell you something right now? I believe the reason many of God's people are not surrendered is not, my friend, an external problem. It's an internal problem. Their heart. You'll never surrender your body till you surrender your heart. My friend, it's reasonable for you and I. It was reasonable for the disciples. It was reasonable for them to surrender. If you remember over in Acts chapter number 24 and verse number 24, you'll find some scripture about Felix. And the word of God said when Paul stood before Felix that he trembled. And then he said this, "Some more convenient time, I'll send for thee." That's unreasonable. Why? Number one, you don't have a promise of a more convenient time. And number two, let me just say this. This is something that's not being taught in this day and age. But you can't be saved apart from God pricking your heart and drawing you. And I'm telling you right now, friend of mine, listen. When God pricks your heart and draws you, it's dangerous to walk away from that. It's dangerous. A man in Churchill, Tennessee, I was preaching revival meeting.
He attended the church where I pastored sporadically, not regular. I was preaching a revival meeting at Elam Baptist Church in Churchill, Tennessee. And I'm telling you, listen to me, listen to me. I prayed for that man. I prayed for that man. I begged God to save that man. That man's up in his 60s. I love him to death. But I'll tell you, that man, my friend, held on to that pew that night. Held on to that pew that night. I looked at the look on his face. I begged him to come and trust God. And on the front steps of the porch, my friend, with no tears and no conviction, he said, "Preacher, I believe I just made a huge mistake. And I have never known of the Holy Ghost dealing with him since." You say, "Preacher, do you believe that's possible?" I wouldn't preach it if I didn't believe it was possible. My spirit shall not always strive with man. You can put him to the side and put him off and turn him away until one day he'll let you go your own way. Let you do your own thing. Friend of mine, the Bible said it's reasonable. Let me give you something. You know this heart right here? I talked about the disciples. Jesus said, "It's because your heart's hardened." Brother Arnold, I believe Felix's heart was hardened. You'll read just in a verse or two. I can't remember exactly how many verses, Brother Gary, but it's right under that. Where Felix sent for him the oftener. And you would hope that he was interested in salvation. Read it. But he wanted to gain. That's what he wanted right there. You tell me how a man can go from trembling under the influence of the Holy Ghost to being worried about getting that almighty greenback dollar. Amen. Are you listening to me? I tell you how. It's because his heart was hardened. His heart was hardened. Some more convenient time. I say this morning. There's no time like today. The Bible said, "And now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation." I say this morning for those that are unsaved. There's no time like right now. I don't believe there's a person in this building that would take a revolver and roll that cylinder with one bullet in it. Would you do that with your kids? Miss Lisa, would we do that with Annalise? There ain't no way, honey. We'd run over 10,000 trying to do it. Amen. Not going to take that chance. That's stupid. That's unreasonable. It's unreasonable. And I tell you, if the Holy Ghost of God is wooing at your heart, the reasonable thing to do is come to Him. It's unreasonable to walk away from Him. To go away from Him. When He's calling you to come to Him. Let me say this, child of God, and I'm done. To continue to walk in our own way. To continue to walk in our own path. To continue to go day after day without opening the Bible. Day after day without talking to the one that died for us on that old rugged cross. To go day after day without ever mentioning Him to someone else. To go day after day, week after week. That's unreasonable. If we're saved by the grace of God, the first reasonable thing is the Bible. We ought to be in the Bible. The next reasonable thing is the baptistry. If we're saved by the grace of God, we ought to be willing to let the whole world know I'm not ashamed of the one that lives down inside of me. Amen. The next reasonable thing is the brethren. We ought to be ready to just get right in there with the brethren and serve the Lord. It's unreasonable to do anything else. The body of Christ is so important in serving the Lord. I've heard people, I actually have heard missionaries, and I tried in a loving manner when I heard it to straighten them out. I've heard missionaries say, "I'll tell you one thing, bless God, I'm going to do what God called me to do with or without the support of this church." Well, that might sound good. But I'll tell you, the day that missionary forgets he needs the church, he ain't worth shooting. The day that church forgets they need the missionary, they ain't worth shooting. God put us in this thing together. Amen. We need one another. We need one another. We need one another. Thank God the nursery's filling up. Thank God. You say, preacher, we don't need them babies. Oh, yes, we do. But let me give you another truth. Them babies need us. They need us. Where in the world is old-time religion going to go if we don't stay by the stuff? Where in the world are you going to find churches that stand if we don't stay by the stuff? We need them, and they need us. In order for all those needs to be met, we all need to realize we need Him. We need Him. Maybe you went through last year in a lot of unreasonable manners. Maybe you went through the whole year unsaved, knowing when you laid down at night, if you died, you was in trouble with God. You don't have to go through another year like that. Maybe, my friend, you're here and you know good and well. As well as you know you're saved, you know you're holding back on the Lord. You don't have to go through another year like that. Turn it loose. A man is no fool. Listen. A man is no fool to give up that he cannot keep in order to gain that he cannot lose. You'll get that after a while. People are hanging on to things that they cannot keep. But God said, if you'll give that up, I'll give you some things that you cannot lose. We brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we're not taking anything out. We came in naked as a jaybird, and we're leaving out the same way. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, it would have really concerned me if Olivia would have come out of there with a dress on. Say amen. That would have concerned me. You know what? God had it right. We came in with nothing. We're leaving out as far as material things with nothing. But I tell you what, we can leave out with someone. His name is Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to stand and preach the Word of God this morning. Father, to be born again is reasonable. And for the born again, the saints of God, to be surrendered to Him is reasonable. Lord, it's my prayer this morning that you'll take the message. May it sink deep, deep, deep down into our hearts. God, I pray this morning that you'd help this pastor to be more surrendered, God, than I've ever been. Lord, I surrender all. It's more than just a song. Lord, you're worthy of our life. You're worthy of everything that we have, everything that we ever will have. God, I pray this morning that you would help us to look to Calvary. I pray, Lord, this morning, save someone that's not saved. Stir someone that's not surrendered, and we'll give you glory.